listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. So glad that you guys can be back here on a Tuesday to chime in. Give everybody a second to move in and see what they have planned for the evening. Maybe grab a cup of tea, you know, a couple of sippers, and enjoy the show. Guys, I see you guys lining up one by one. Come on in. We got a lot to talk about. First, I'd like to talk about the children. I think I'm going to call it The Children of the Corn. I think that was a movie, if I'm not mistaken. But what happens to the children when people forget who they are? They're little human beings at the end of the day, and they do hold worth and value because that's the future. These are the children that will eventually take care of us when we get older. We're not going to take care of ourselves. And 9 out of 10 times, your own children, they're not coming around to wipe your butt. So you got to depend on others to help you and get you around, feed you, give you your medication when you need it. This is the children of our future that is being overlooked in so many different ways. You know, one thing is for sure, it seems like people have forgotten family values. I picked up a book this morning. It was a book of kindergarten through the fifth grade. I bought it when my daughter was probably like a year old, because I knew one day she'd be going to pre-kindergarten, pre-K as they call it, and then kindergarten. So I'm looking through this book and I'm pulling out the folders because it has, you know, each step of the way of memories that have gotten created by me. And I'm going through this folder and I'm looking at her pre-K graduation certificate. Mind you, my daughter right now is 18 years old. But I'm looking at her pre-K certificate. I'm looking at her kindergarten graduation diploma. I'm looking at her first grade honor roll sheets, award certificates, each quarter, on and on, up until the fifth grade, and this moves on to middle school. And I stopped at the fifth grade because parents sometimes don't know how important it is to groom your child from that very young age. Because by the time they're done with fifth grade, they have their own identity. They know who they are. They know who they want to be. And they start voicing their opinions. You know, people always say, oh my God, I dread those teenage years because here comes the back slapping with the mouth. They're becoming who they are at that age. And some parents can deal with it, and some people, you know, some parents are like, you know, you're going too overboard. You know, I can't deal with you. But it's their own opinion and their value of who they see that they want to become. And it's your job as a parent from pre-K to fifth grade graduation to take a look at that kid and say, I'm going to groom you to who I want you to be for these first years of your life. Because somewhere down the line, people fall off. And they fall off by letting the children go outside by themselves. They make friends around this age time of third, fourth, fifth grade, you know, going into middle school. They make friends. And parents sometimes say, you're smart enough to make your own decisions now. You're old enough for me not to say things twice. Not realizing that guidance from pre-K to the fifth grade graduation should have been your focal point of guidance. Because I looked at this book and I said to myself, now that my 18-year-old is in college, I said to her, there's nothing that you can't accomplish. You've come a long way with being who you are. And I don't agree with everything that she does or says. She's 18, they're mouthy, she's a girl, she's emotional. I get it. I was that age, I was in college, I was mouthy at my mom. It's a cycle that's repeating itself. It's just that when I would, you know, backlip, I got backhanded. I came from a very strict household, so that wasn't allowed. But you kind of let your kids not absorb the things that you went through, as I would hope you would, as being a good parent. You want better. That's why you strive to say, you know what? My kid brought home an A-. I said, what happened to the A+? You know, because kids don't realize, at 18, you're still a kid. You're not grown. You're still a kid in my eyes. 21 to drink, 21 to get a car, 21 to finance things without a cosigner like a parent. So 21 is that ideal age for me to say, okay, you're grown now. But at 18, you still need guidance. And guys, I can tell you, going back, I would say 14 years ago, when I used to tell her dad, who is my ex-husband, that she's being awarded today on the honor roll, and you have to be there too. I didn't make it a one-parent situation. Two people laid down and had the kid. Two people have to be there to support the kid. And people are losing focus on what it takes to raise children nowadays. And where do you start? Where do you begin? And people are lacking of knowledge on how to help their kid be groomed into a successful adult. A lot of things that are going on today, such as all of this violence, you know, grown men with mommy mental issues. You know, guys, like I told you, that fake rape charge that was pinned on me, and thank goodness, with my background and career and great attorneys that I've met throughout my course of life and course of being on the job, I was able to prove the truth. Had I not been educated, I would not have had that opportunity to put myself in that arena to say, I'm innocent and I'm going to prove it. This goes back to my childhood of pre-K, which pre-K for me, I didn't go to pre-K in the United States of America, so it's a little different. We didn't have a pre-K. We had more like a first grade for like the first 3 years of your life. So we were very well groomed. So in America, education is slightly different. We don't get the pre-K and the kindergarten. you know, all the mommy and daddy and family, loved ones coming out to see us do our first play and dance and sing. That part of my life was not attained because it wasn't something that was acceptable as far as being a part of education in the Dominican Republic. I got a chance to see what it was like to raise my children here in America and have that opportunity that my mother never had. To let me go to a play and put on pretty clothes. Maybe, who knows, I might have been an actress. I just wasn't given that fair opportunity, such as the opportunities that Americans have and they take for granted, such as reading. Reading is knowledge. When I look at the movies of how the slaves used to want to read, and once they found out that they knew how to read, they were beaten, they were blinded, and this was their life. You were prohibited from being educated. You know, people look at this as the land of the free, a land of opportunity in America. People have died trying to get to America just to get educated. They want to learn the English language so bad they can feel it on the tip of their tongue, but the words just don't come out right. And I'm not going to say I'm perfect in English, but I've had a lot of education to get me where I am today, where I am the spearhead of my family when they have legal issues or they have any complications in life dealing with anything legal. They run to me. You know, it's like in any nationality, the Mexicans, there's always one. One knows English, one knows the law, one knows something. Every nationality has that one person that can advocate for the rest. So people need to take into consideration good parenting skills. You know, seeing your kids go hungry and let them see you, you know, as a mother, lay up with different guys, different men in and out of the house. It's our tradition that if you want to be with us, you have to get married. We don't just shack. You know, we have that structure of family and household. And, you know, God bless my mother-in-law's soul. Such a sweet woman. Shout outs to her, Minnie Reese. Love her, love her, love her. Miss her dearly. She's a Southern. She was a Southerner. And I got to learn a little bit about the Southern life. And it was also that one educated person that was a Southerner that spoke up for all the rest of the people and had a voice. And she was groomed as a child. You know, she gave me her backstory from kindergarten to fifth grade. And how she cried for these red pair of shoes. And she got them going to the sixth grade. Because she wanted to go to a dance with her favorite guy who she knew as a child, that she grew up with, that she fell in love with, that she married, had children with. The family structure. She showed me that it wasn't only in my nationality that families have structures. So I'm kind of wondering, what's going on with the family structures in America? You got all these kids under the control of, I don't want to really mention their names, but the umbrella system. Back in those times, you know, this system was never even heard of. This system was formulated originally for military wives so they could get them housing, so they can get them food, so they could provide daycare services. And all of a sudden, they realized we can capitalize off of children that are disobedient and being chastised. We can capitalize financially. America can set a new payroll. Now you have all of these children in a lot of these dysfunctional homes. Because either the mother's on drugs, the grandmother's raising a child, father's nowhere to be found. Or sometimes the father is around and he just can't deal with the toxic situation of the other half. Or sometimes it's the mother who can't deal with the father's toxic situation. And now the child is caught in the middle of the crossfire with raising themselves. These kids don't stay babies for long. You miss out on a lot of the good years, the memories. You create the memories for them. They can sit back and they can share it with their children when they get older. And they can say, this is what my mom did and this is what my dad did. You know, it's just very unfortunate that people can't share the responsibility. I didn't grow up with my dad. You know, my mother's mentality was, I'm married to a new dad. That's your dad. My dad, unfortunately, he didn't have a visa to come to America. My mother was one who was able to leave the country and come to America and start a life for herself and bring her children when she was stable. I never faulted my mom for the way that she did her operation of things as far as I'm going to get stable in America and then I will bring my children with me once I'm stable, which was good because you don't become a community baby at that point where everybody's taking care of you. You're sleeping from this house to that house, strangers, neighbors. Sometimes people don't come with family. Fortunately for my mom, she paved the way for her brothers and sisters to come to America. And when she did that, her kids came shortly thereafter. And we weren't children that stayed from this house to that house. When my mom worked, my aunt stepped in, my uncle stepped in with my brothers. It was structure. It wasn't my mom's on drugs and I got to see this different guy. It was a different setting. And that's what's hurtful today, to see that all of these children are just being misguided with no outlets. These so-called nonprofit agencies that say they're doing so many good things for the children. I can tell you it's all a lie. I actually went around to a few nonprofits just to see how they work and what they do. You know, just so I can confirm what's really going on. And what I did confirm is that they're looking for ways to line their pockets, and it's really not for the benefit of the kid. So if you want to get involved with a nonprofit, sure, you can get involved, but they want to know, how can I eat off of what we're going to give you? And that was a little spooky to me. That was one agency. Just a little too spooky. Because do you really care about the children? I wanted to tell this guy a thing or two. I really did. But I had to bite my tongue. Because I just wanted to know more about what they really do. You know, a lot of these programs get hundreds of thousands of dollars for these children. And they use it as administrative fees. Okay, we're going to take on someone else, hire them. We're going to train them. We're going to get paid for training because this is what we do. And we're going to make another extra cut. Meanwhile, the end goal is never to help these children. You know, they're pouring out hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, billion-dollar budget with DOJ, you know, the Juvenile Justice Program. When will America wake up? You know, you guys make me want to actually go live and flip tables over and break glasses because I want you guys to see how frustrated I am at people just taking advantage of taxpayers' dollars. You know, this money comes out of your taxes. So what happens is we're going to deduct this from your check. And we're going to tell you what we're going to give you back at the end of the year. Why is it that you don't know what you get back at the end of the year and they're making all these deductions out of your paycheck? I got my hand up. I'm raising it. I'm a victim of a circumstance. That's why I'm speaking on it. Does anybody vote? Does anybody go to the House, the Senate House, to say, listen, I got a question here? Does anybody take a stand to say, what are we doing with the money? You got all these new housing developments going up that's unaffordable. And by the way, they lessen their unit numbers just so they can keep it unaffordable. Because if you go over a certain number of units, now you have to incorporate some affordable housing in your rental project, which a lot of developers are like, if we got to stay under 70, we'll stay under 70. We're not going to do 75 and let these people come live here because we want to be able to charge what we want to be able to charge. We don't want to pay, you know, half of their rent. We don't want to see their kids in our school system. So what do? You know, civil rights union is called discrimination. They're smarter than you guys. It's no longer discrimination. It's called you can't afford to live here. You know, I think you guys, I told you before, I live where it's curbs and not corners. Because I live in an area where you can't afford to live here. That's what the sign says when I get my statement every month. You can't afford to live here. And this is what it is today. What did, you know, Martin Luther King do in times like this? There's no marches. There's nobody speaking up. It's horrible how it's so much black on black crime. Black people are really killing off the race. Younger and younger by the day. When will the black kids say, listen, I'm ready to be educated. I want to be smart. I want to do something with my life. You can't possibly have this kid that has a third grade education. His reading level is probably at a first grade level. And I'm not trying to be facetious by saying that. But this is the reality of what it is. The quality of young black men are extinct in America. Don't go there with me about, someone sent me a message about Africans. They don't consider themselves African American. They don't like you. okay? And I'm not saying that to be mean or hateful, but I have friends that's from Africa that says, we don't consider ourselves black. We're not American. We're from Africa. That's our country. We have our different territories, tribes. We're not American. Don't ever address me as American. That's what I was told. Because I'm like, you're African American. So all of the black African Americans, like born in this country, African Americans, are like raising up their fists. I'm black and I'm proud. Don't worry. I have a kid that does that. And I try to remind her, if you're so black and proud, then tell me about your history. Because I never taught her black history. So if you're going to say this is what you are, and you're being very descriptive and very, you know, boisterous about who you are, especially when she gets around my family members who are Dominican, she expresses this to my family members because she wants them to know I'm not of the Latino descent. My mother is, but I'm not. I was born in America. So it kind of makes me say to her, before you put that fist up again, because, you know, it could easily get slapped down by somebody if you start going around people and saying, I'm black and I'm proud and I'm this and I'm that. I've seen it happen. I've seen people get laid to the floor. How dare you address yourself as an African American and you don't know anything about history? Not his story, history. Because this age group of kids, they don't want to read. And I'm not going to take it, you know, take anything away from my kids. Yeah, they're smart. They're in school. I got one in medical school. The youngest one is first year of college, 18 years old. But you have to read and you have to have knowledge and you have to have understanding. And it took for me to go back and photograph all these awards and diplomas and certificates of achievement. And mind you, not missing one day of school. It took for me to tell her, take it back to that. You can do and you can be anything you want to be in this life if you apply yourself. My daughter got her first grade on her first paper. She got an A minus. The first response from me was, what happened to the A plus? A minus turns into a B really quick. The next is a C, a D, then you fail. I don't want my children to ever be too comfortable with the A minus because it's the letter A and I got an A. No, A minus to me is like, you could have did better. For some people it's good and that's your preference. But I run a tight ship when it comes to education. And I expect other parents who are parents that call themselves parents to get their acts together, get your kids together, take control of your household, and sit down, have a family night where everybody can enjoy a good book together. Read the book and discuss it. Talk about it. So you know that there's a clear understanding, different point of views, but a clear understanding of what the book is really all about. Guys, let's take a quick break and I'll be right back.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price, but are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guarantee. sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Looking for a holistic approach to a healthy new lifestyle? Akir CMOS is the vitamin-rich solution you need with 92% of the nutrients our body needs. What does CMOS do? Promotes natural weight loss, helps build body muscle, builds a healthier immune system, helps allergies. Consuming CMOS when you're sick is a win, but consuming when you're healthy is a win-win. Visit AkirCMOS.com today and begin your journey to a healthier lifestyle.
Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome back. Wow, it's a lot of people on today. Glad to see that, because we're talking about some real deal business here. That's all confirmed. So let's talk about back to the kids again. Because I'm a parent, and things like this concern me. It's very emotional for me, because I look at it as I did a great job at being a parent. And I'm proud of myself. I'm proud at the things that I've done for my kids to get to the next level of life, of learning responsibility. The youngest one, tad bit lazy at times, but she's getting there. She's getting there. So it's a work in progress. You know, it's always the last kid who, you know, thinks that they're a part of the entitlement program. I'm owed everything because I'm the baby. And I receive everything. I get everything. I get it all. You know, and I finally started sharing responsibility with her to help her build up her credit so she doesn't overspend. I just had to restrict her credit card. I added her onto my Amex card. She's charging Uber Eats. She's ordering all this nonsense. She's ordering clothes. And I had to tell her, listen, this is for emergency purposes only. When you don't have cash on hand, use the card for what you need. She blew my card up and said, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I'll never do it again. So I had to unfortunately suspend her card to teach her a valuable lesson, to not abuse the privilege that's been given to you. Now, back to education. Do you know, well, let me say, are you aware that 48% of a school's budget comes from your income tax and state tax, your federal and your state tax? Are you aware that the schools get federal and state funding off of your hard sweat? So if this is the case, and everybody else has the right to say what they're going to allocate the money for, what they're going to do with it, how it's going to get done, why don't the parents have a voice? You know, that's why they started these PTA, parent teacher associations. I used to be a PTA president at one time in my daughter's schools. Because I wanted to be involved. I played so many different roles, the treasurer, so I could see where the money was going. Fundraisers. You know, I've spent many years as a PTA president. You know, knowing where the money went. Because I wanted to know, you're charging all these dues, where does the money actually go? So now the PTA probably doesn't have hardly any members because parents, let me take that back. It depends on your zip code. It depends on your zip code. It will determine how involved you are as a parent in your child's education. Because there's so many things that go on in these schools and parents are clueless. They're like, when did that happen? How did that happen? I wasn't notified. because you don't participate in anything. How will you ever be notified of anything and you're a non-participant? The only time I notice, and being a PTA president, I can honestly say this, the only time parents really get involved is when they realize your kid is not graduating. Now they want to run to the school. Oh my gosh, I was never notified he was failing, she was failing. I didn't know anything. But did you look at homework for the day? Did you say, open your notebook, let's go over your homework? How many parents do that today? Kids are actually going to school, doing homework in the morning before the next class. This is why they're falling behind. They have no homework help, but they have after school programs that's being funded by the billions of dollars. And where are these kids and what are they learning? You know, they advertise free homework help. Sometimes the teachers take the time out. Sometimes they don't. It depends on what they're getting paid for overtime. It's free to the student. You know what I did when I was in school? I went to a boarding school, private boarding school, because I know there's some boarding schools out here that are for kids that are, you know, they have discipline issues, let's just say that. But I went to a boarding school, Excelsior, one of the top rated boarding schools in New York City. Just myself and one of my brothers, because my mother couldn't send all of us. But she sent the ones that learned English, could read well, because we wanted to go to the next level of life. And she couldn't afford to send us all, proven fact. And there, it all started from there, of how my brother and I wanted to accelerate our lives into learning. And I have to commend him as well. His children are great. And I'm not just saying it because they're my niece and my nephew. They are a great example of great parenthood. And my brother is still married, 22 years in. So his wife and himself they've always had a great family structure. For myself, I got divorced and that things happen. But at the end of the day, we still co-parent. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes we agree to disagree. But at the end of the day, we still come forward together and we co-parent. And we do a good job at it. We somehow seem to level things out, even on the rocky roads. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the child. And if I could get this message across to some of the parents that are just struggling with their child and need a little bit of guidance, a little bit of help, my line is always open. You can feel free to send me a text, send me a chat. You can send it over to the studio, LA Talk Radio, get the message across. You can really do a lot with a great support system. Sometimes it's not about mom or dad. Sometimes it's about mom and another co-parent. That's why they have surrogates. You carry the baby for 9 months, and I'll handle the rest. That's a great co-parenting experience for a lot of people. It's not just the rich that do it. A lot of people have busy work schedules. They can afford to take care of another child, but they just can't afford the 9 months of agony. So basically, guys, ladies and gentlemen, what I'll say to you is, have a great co-parenting relationship with your other half. Or if you can't co-parent with that person, find another person that you can co-parent with. And that way, you can create memories for that kid. Some children, they say it's never too late, but a lot of kids, they're too far gone. They're so far gone into space, you can't bring them back. They're gone. It's like traveling from Earth to Mars. They are a one ticket, one way, and they're gone. You ever try to talk to these young teenagers and say, pull your pants up? You know, they're mouthing off, looking at you like they're ready to gun you down. This is the type of things that I'm talking about. You know, and a lot of times, they don't want you to even look at them the wrong way. You look at some of these teenagers the wrong way, they know they've done some dirt, so they're thinking, they must have sent this person for me. So immediately they're on the defense. And guys, I can tell you this much. I'm married again. A lot of you know that. Some who are on the line for the first time may not know that, but I'm married again. No children in this marriage besides my stepchildren. But I can honestly say this. My ex-husband and my new husband, they have a great co-parenting relationship. You know, everyone gets along. There's no drama. So it makes a lot of sense to try to get along and raise that kid right. Because before you know it, they're grown and they're off to their own life. And you've missed out on so much of the good times and memories. I look back at taking my kid to the Crayola factory. Wait, I'm going to take it all the way back. I'm going to take it 18 years back. I take it back to dressing up her nursery, where her name and big graffiti letter, well, not graffiti, inscript on the wall. I had an artist come in and do her wall. Not that she could see it, but I got pictures. I got memories. So she can look back and say, look at the nursery. By the way, guys, Tommy Torres, I have an Instagram page. I'm going to post that picture so you guys could see it. 18 years ago, I funked out her nursery because I wanted her to have the best nursery ever. I didn't only do it for her. I did it for my first kid. As a matter of fact, I'll post both pictures. So you guys can see, when you create these memories, these kids could look back and say, wow, I even got baby shoes. I still got the baby shoes. I got baby sneakers, baby walking shoes. I got it all. I even kept like one or two significant baby outfits, the hospital caps that they sent them home in. I kept those, you know, put it in the picture book as a memory. So they can remember, like, this was you. This was me. Create those good memories so these kids can have something to look back on, to give them hope. Keep them optimistic. Keep them positive. Set good examples so when they grow up, they can be good parents to their children. Because usually the grandparents are taking care of the grandkids because they screwed up so much. They feel like I owe them this because I screwed up as a parent. But if you do it now, you don't have to feel like you're making up time because you lost out on so much with everybody else. Guys, I'm going to close out this show tonight, and I'll be back next week. We'll have a great guest to come aboard, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Same bat place, same bat time. Thanks for joining me. Tommy Torres signing off. Have a good night, guys. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.